Hi, this is Jennifer Easerlo, the Skinny Chef. In My Granny's Kitchen is an ongoing series of tape conversations that take place at Granny's kitchen table in the house where I grew up. Granny is famous for her cooking, and that's where my food education started. I want to share her legacy and how she taught me to bring people together with food. So pull up a chair and join us in Granny's Kitchen. Whether you're a professional chef or a home cook, everyone has had their fair share of cooking disasters. In this episode, Granny and I share our easy techniques and tips to rescue meals before they get to the dinner table. Find out how to keep sour cream from curdling and even how to fix a salty soup. I was thinking about cooking disasters. I remember that time I made my first chocolate cake. I was in college. And I used sweetened condensed milk instead of evaporated milk. And the icing was so heavy on the cake. You know, I iced the top of the cake. It was a devil's food or, no, it was a German chocolate cake.
German chocolate.
And I had iced the top of the cake and the icing was so heavy that it ripped off part of the cake and it fell on the floor. And I was panicked because the guests were about to arrive and this cake was broken in half. And it was, you know, it was overly sweet. It was a complete disaster. And I think everybody in their, you know, in their time learning to cook has disasters. And I mean, some disasters can definitely be fixed, but
just a good idea just to throw it away and start all over again if you can. But sometimes you can't. I do that sometimes if you're making something, baking something, and it doesn't turn out.
Well, baking's the hardest, I think. Yeah.
And if it doesn't, and it's just impossible to eat, just throw it away. That's all you can do and pretend it never happened.
It's like the commercial where the mother puts salt in the cake instead of sugar.
Yeah, right. Something like that happened.
Yeah.
Let me think, John. Of course, if there's always sometimes when you put either sour cream or cream into a dish and it breaks.
Curls,
and it doesn't thicken it like you're supposed to. Always a good idea is just to get your cornstarch and make a slurry and pour that in and it'll thicken it up. You don't have that worry. But sometimes if you don't put that sour cream in too early, before you're ready to sit down, it'll break. It'll get your,
from the heat.
Yeah, and it's not good. So you just make up a slurry and put that in. And sometimes too, like one time I made this delicious platter of a relish tray with all kinds of cut vegetables and everything. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it was Thanksgiving and I wanted to put this large tray of cut up vegetables and dip onto the table. So, you're always rushing to get everything done and you don't want to forget. And I always forget something.
So they put the garnish on something and I forgot.
So anyhow, this tray that I had it on had little feet underneath and I went to drag it out of off the shelf. And in those, the early refrigerator, they had like open shelves. It wasn't like a complete
thing. It was a grill.
Yeah, it was more like a grill. And when I went to take it out, one of those little feet caught on the edge of the shelf. And of course, everything fell to the floor. So I thought, now what am I going to do? So you know what I did? I just cleaned up the dip, threw that away, took the vegetables, put them under the spigot and washed them off a little bit and put the vegetables on.
Yeah, but your floor was always spick and span.
But I don't know what you could do with, you know, otherwise what's the difference? I figured they won't know the difference, so I did it anyway. But let me think of something else that you could do.
I always have little tricks, like sometimes if something is, you know, a little over salty.
Yeah.
As long as it's not, you know, inedible, I put a little lemon juice.
That cuts it.
That helps to cut the taste of the salt or, you know, I've had some baking disasters, I think, especially when I work on cookbooks and things where I'm trying new techniques or trying to make something low fat and you're not quite sure how products are going to react. And, you know, a lot of times, one trick is when I'm baking and I'm experimenting, I taste the batter first.
To see if there's,
you know, because I'm always trying to create things that are less sweet or, you know, more calorie friendly. So when I taste the batter, that's a good measure of whether or not it's going to be tasty enough to even continue on
good
with
baking.
The recipe. I mean, it's so important to taste things as you go along.
Yeah. And say if you're making a pot of soup or something, and you get it and you taste it and you put too much salt in it, you know it's over-salted. They say take a potato and cut it in half and put it in, because that potato will grab...
soak up the salt.
Will grab a lot of the salt. And then you can, you know, it won't damage your dish either. You could even take it out if you cut it in large enough chunks. But even if you don't, you could just include it in your stew or whatever you're making.
I think potato, too, is a good way to thicken things without using cream or butter.
I do that a lot when I make that green bean soup. I mash it up and it thickens the soup. And it gives it flavor, too, at the same time. And it cuts down somewhat on the calories, too, because you're not using a heavy something to make it thick. But there are certain little things that you can watch for. You know, you learn through time how things smell.
Right, right.
And even when you're cooking, you know when
you can smell it. Yeah.
You know when you should get up from the chair to go and check on something because you remember the odor of it when it was brown.
For me, I always look at with fish if the surface seems slippery at all or slimy.
Yeah.
Because a fresh piece of fish should always have a matte finish. It should look like the matte finish of a photograph.
Oh, is that right?
And when you smell it, it should have a salty odor, but not smell, you know, too fishy. Canned fish is different, of course, because it's processed in a different way, but fresh fish. And when you look in the market, you always look at the eyes, if you're getting whole fish, to see if the eyes are clear.
And bright.
But, you know, the fishmongers, when they see me coming, they know not to try to steer me to the old stuff, because I put my nose over the glass and really eyeball it, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And the best thing is to make friends with your... I mean, I know my fishmongers by first names. Sometimes, you know, I use the technique of bringing them a brownie, you know, getting good with them. And then they tell me what the freshest is. And I never ask, what's the freshest fish? Because I don't want to hear the other customers, you know, overhearing getting upset. I say, what's good today?
Uh-huh.
And they whisper, they say, come along with me. Okay. Once, you know, they know that you have a distinctive taste and you want the freshest thing and you come to them on a regular basis and call them by name, then they really show
you
what
to
the
give
good
you.
Stuff is. Yeah. You have to be very careful with, you know, food handling and when in doubt,
don't eat it.
You know, if you're nervous. And I think your body has a natural mechanism that you see something that doesn't look quite right or, you know. And then the other thing, too, is, you know, when you shop, try to plan ahead. What I do a lot of times, if I have a piece of meat and I know I can't cook it, I'll pop it in the freezer and then make a stew from it. And I always let it defrost inside the fridge, get up in the morning. Because sometimes, you know, I have to work late or I get called in at the last minute for a job or, you know, the opportunity to go to
there.
Some restaurant. And the freezer's a great way, but again, you know, you don't want to put too much in your freezer because you end up wasting the food.
Right. But sometimes you think, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow, and you don't, and then you forget. You do have that problem. But I can't think of anything else. But that thing about fresh fruit versus your nose is a wonderful indicator, you know. And you can smell
I think it. In the kitchen, people get too wrapped up with worrying about having special fancy tools. I think your hands, your nose, listening, you know, to the crackling of some soup, or you know, when something you can hear, you know, you're cooking risotto and you hear that it's getting dry because, you know, the popping sound of the liquid on top changes.
Right.
And just using your senses instead of worrying about fancy tools and just having a good set of knives and skillets and, you know, kitchen basics.
Right.
That. You know, a lot of people that I cook with are always afraid to use their hands. And I say, go ahead, you know, you should wash
your
hands.
That's right. That's what they're for.
Clean hands, use your fingers. And
they're the best tools you have, actually.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Your hands. And your nose, is another good tool because you can use it to smell how things, even baking, you can tell, oh, that's about ready to come out. Because you learn through experience. A good cook would, but some people never learn. That's the truth. I swear they don't. You know about the lady that put, she wanted to make tomatoes, baked tomatoes, and she put the whole tomato on the rack. and baked it in an oven.
Without putting a tray underneath?
No, yeah. She just like you throw a potato in. She thought you could do that with a tomato. Right.
Now, well, I've had some experiences like that with my husband.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And he's a PhD in chemistry. But cooking is all about experience.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is.
And learning from the experience, because some people never learn.
And I think if you're a new cook, you just need to keep it as simple as possible.
Right,
simple
exactly.
Simple things. You know, there's so many So many recipes out there.
Come on in, Esther.
Hi, Esther.
Granny's Kitchen is recorded and produced by Jennifer and Ulrich Easerlo. To find recipes, news on healthy living, and more of Granny's Kitchen stories, visit skinnychef.com.